All right, we're going to go ahead and get started right now. Hello, and welcome to our spring quarterly community safety meeting. My name is Ben Ransom. I am the crime prevention officer here in the River Forest Police Department. Happy to bring you this meeting live on Zoom. Also, we have the community room open for anyone who wants to attend in person. Published slides and video recording of the meeting will be made available after this live presentation. We will begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Before we get started with tonight's presentations, we have some guest speakers as well as members of our police department. I will turn it over to Chief of Police Jim O'Shea.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Wednesday evening. It's a little bit after 6 p.m. Tonight we have a great meeting, some great guest speakers. We're going to hear from Lindsay Silver, who is the event coordinator for the third annual River Forest Community Bike Exchange. We're also going to hear from Executive Director Cheryl Potts from the Community Mental Health Board of Oak Park. We're going to hear from Ben Ransom, crime prevention officer here. He's going to give us some updates on services and some upcoming events. And Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola is here tonight to talk about some crime trends and statistics. At the end of the meeting, as we always do, I'll be available as well as other staff members here to answer any questions that you may have. And also, we hope that you have a few questions for our guest speakers this evening. A couple timely just comments to make. The first one I'm going to talk about is bike safety. Nice weather's come out a little bit earlier this year, and we love it, but at the same time, we're seeing a lot of our kids and adults not wearing bike helmets. The second thing that's a little concerning that we're seeing already this, I'll say, biking season is not following the rules of the road, just going through stoplights, going through stop signs. We're pretty fortunate that we haven't had any serious accidents so far, but from what we're seeing, remember the part of the rules of the road applies to bicyclists when they're out there. A note on traffic safety, the speed limit signs and the stop signs in River Forest are not optional. That they are laws, they are and safety, bicyclist safety. So please adhere to those speed limits and please stop at those stop signs and stop lights. They're there for everyone's safety and please be respectful of that. Staffing within the police department, just to give an update on that, our department is fully staffed with 30 sworn officers. We do have one officer right now that's just finishing up field training, so you may see two officers riding together, and that would probably be our training car. But with regard to staffing, and this had come up a few meetings ago, that the public would like to hear some updates on our staffing. So we are at this time. You are going to see, now that the weather is nice, you're going to see a lot of the officers out on conducting foot patrols in the parks and the business districts. Any area that's been affected by crime, that automatically will trigger some additional foot patrols, bike patrols, and plainclothes officer patrols. But we're looking forward to the community seeing a few more officers out there on bikes this season. The officers are trained. We have the equipment, and they enjoy interacting with the public when they're out on bike patrol. You know, one of the things I want to mention is we are a village. We are a community, and we're here to look out for each other. So please remember, if you see something, hear something, please say something. And right now I'm going to turn it over to Officer Ransom, who's going to introduce our first guest speaker this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. We are starting off with Lindsay Silver, again, the event coordinator for the River Forest Bike Exchange Program in partnership with D90's Green for Good and the VRF Sustainability Commission. Before we turn it over to the screen share, for more details, you can contact Lindsay at lindsay.gift.silver@gmail.com. So we'll give Lindsay the screen share now and turn it over to you.
Thank you, Ben. Let's see. One second. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Well, thank you all so much for having me. I think that this has been the most rewarding, most fun, reminiscing about it. A couple days ago and just how it got started. And so I'm really excited to share this with you all today. It was on April 22nd on Saturday. You might remember it from the crazy weather day that we just had. We had the third annual River Forest Community Bike Exchange. So I just starting to tell a little bit about what the bike exchange is, because that's always what people ask. And I was so grateful this year because we had so many new people reach out and attend that this was the first time that they showed interest. And so this is sort of the way that we laid it out. You know, it was always meant to be a community event. And it ideally was the thought that it would be for exchanging bikes. But of course, now it's turned into just a little bit more than that. And certainly to promote sustainability, as you can just imagine, the number of bikes that kids and adults go through over the course of their life. The picture that you see on the left was taken in my garage on the Friday night before the bike exchange, after we had done some significant work on all the bikes, which you'll see some of those pictures in just a minute. So when I looked back at how the bike exchange started, this was a picture of the volunteer group from the first year. We were all outside in masks. It was April of 2021. I found the Facebook post I had put out on the 60305 Neighbors Facebook page and just said, you know, I noticed that a lot of people are trying to sell bikes and find bikes online. And that's when we were still at home. And I was just like, it just seems like there's a need for people to find bikes, whatever the reason was. And people wanted to have the opportunity to be outside. So I had just asked, you know, something like this exists, let me know. And if not, I'd be interested in helping, you know, helping organize it. And at the time, I think it was when there was a lot of political things going on in River Forest, like the elections. And so everything was so crazy on Facebook. And this was like really well received, positively received. And so I was so excited. And then I got, I guess, the chance to learn how you make something happen in River Forest, is as long as you're willing to do it, then you get the right support, then you know, you go ahead. And so we started it that first year, had a really great year, and you saw just like only 8 volunteers, which we've now grown to about 12 or 13 volunteers we had this year for the entire period. Okay, so how to participate in the bike exchange. And this is always the big question. So you can bring a bike that you no longer use. Maybe it's because your kids have outgrown it, or because you're, you know, for whatever reason, it's no longer used, which is interesting to realize how many people in River Forest have these bikes laying around. And then you can drop it off and exchange it for another bike. And so the idea is you could actually drop it off in advance the week of the event, or you can just bring it there to the event and drop it off in person and for the exchange. The other concept would be to just make a donation of your bike or bike accessory, which I have to say, so many people in the community did, which is always really appreciated. And then the other opportunity would be that you are coming looking for a bike without the exchange, and that we were asking just for a donation anywhere recommended from $5 to $50. And then the fourth thing, which Officer Ransom and Bus were both there to help the last few years from the beginning, was that you could come and register your bike and also at the same time learn a little bit more about bike safety. I think that this year was fun. I have a picture of it coming up, but there was a line for a while of people that were just so interested in registering their bikes. So it was great to see that happen too. How we've sort of prepared for this event. I was just saying it's like a lot of marketing. We came up with the idea last year to put a sticker on the bikes, which was fun, which is the one on the left-hand side. And then this year we upgraded to these like cuter die cut stickers. But we were putting them on the bikes, and what was really cool was to see bikes that had come from last year's bike exchange come back through this year, which really I think from a sustainability focus, but like was super meaningful. The flyer on the third image was the flyer that we created this year too, and you know the schools put that out through District 90. We had it on social media and shared it with other outside of District 90, some of the other schools in River Forest. And then that week, in front of my house, this little basket's been doing its magic for the last 3 years. We just put a little clipboard out there, and people drop off their bikes all week long and log their bike donation there, so that when they show up, they get a ticket automatically showing that they've made the donation. The picture on the left is just one of the days that there was bikes dropped off. But if you can even imagine, by Friday night, we had received 130 bikes that had been dropped off to my house that week. And it was just really cool. I mean, I was, it's like kind of addicting. I work from home, so it's kind of addicting when you just kind of hear something outside and you want to go see these bikes being dropped off, and how happy people are when you get a chance to talk with them that they're able to participate in the event or to help in any way. The really cool thing this year too was that a gentleman from Concordia University had heard about the bike exchange on Facebook and reached out, asking if we would take abandoned bikes that might not be in good use. Well, I should say like rideable bikes. Some of them you definitely couldn't ride. I mean, they might be missing a seat, just different things going on with them. And so we said absolutely, because of what we do with the bikes at the end, which I'll get to. So it was really great. The Concordia team dropped off a van of around 10 more, I'd say teenager to adult sized bikes, which was really great and always popular. The second picture is a bunch of the guys. We had 9 people at our house Friday night, and what they do is they actually go through every single bike in advance and do these like mini tune-ups. So on the Thursday, my husband inflates the tires and every bike so that we know by Friday if they're flat again, that means that they need a new tube. He also pressure washes the bikes that people feel, you know, they're getting a nice clean bike when they come to the event. And then these gentlemen are absolutely incredible and volunteer their time, putting new tubes, adjusting the seats, doing any adjustments that they possibly can so the bikes will be in great condition to go out for the next event. And I said Friday night lights with no lights because it's like we need to remember that it gets so dark so quickly, and then they're all working with like phone flashlights. So where does the money go with the donations? So when people are making donations for the bikes, if they aren't doing an exchange, it gets distributed among the Green for Good committees, which are PTO committees at Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Willard. These committees, of course, are parent run, part of the PTO, and focus on sustainability. The picture I put here was us doing a fun Earth Week challenge of doing zero waste lunches, and so we were giving prizes and just different things that we use the money for at each school to really promote sustainability and make it fun to educate the kids. So the day of the event, this is what it looked like on the back of the Roosevelt parking lot, which I just must add, we are so grateful to Roosevelt and to District 90 for supporting us being able to utilize this space. It's the perfect space for us from an event flow standpoint because where the photographer is standing, that's sort of where everyone's coming in, and we have a welcome table, and then you flow through. This was just before the police department had set up their tent, and then you travel all the way through the back gate as an exit. So we really love this space. So the volunteers to get the bikes over, we use one of the volunteers has a pickup truck, and so we load all of like the scooters and little bikes into the truck. I think that she did 6 or 7 big drop-offs that morning. I live just across from the library, so it's not that far of a commute. And then everyone else is literally riding the bikes over all of the volunteers that morning. It's just kind of funny to watch them ride these little kid bikes too. So anyway, we have a picture. The second picture is some happy families lining up to register their bikes. And you see just like the continued engagement of the community wanting to register their bikes with Ben and Sean. And then we had a really fun, I thought it was the best chalk art we had all in the last 3 years. One of the volunteers did these really cute signs all the way around the library and all the way around where Roosevelt is. This one, you can't see the full picture, but it's like, take a break and visit the bike exchange. It's some cute little sayings that she had come up with. I mentioned this was that crazy day we had. It was like sunny in the beginning. I think we were all sweating, and then it started snowing. It hailed. I think it snowed and hailed again. So we're really, really grateful that everyone came out. So this is the most impressive part to me are the numbers. We had, it turned out 200 bikes donated. So what that meant was when I said that 130 were dropped off at my house, 70 people showed up with bikes the day of the event to exchange, which was so cool. 100 of the 200, 100 actually went through the exchange process, which is amazing. And then 40, well, here going in order, sorry, $1,125 ended up being donated to Green for Good. And that was via the purchase of 40 bikes. We just had an article that got published from the Wednesday Journal that I said, you know, it was so interesting because you see, you have these sort of emotional things you happen throughout the day. And it's like there was a family with three kids that clearly, I think were a little bit, you could, I don't want to, I feel like they were a little stressed out about how it was going to work with the payment. And it's just incredible because I start the whole day always by telling the volunteers that the spirit of this event, it's not a fundraiser. It's meant to be a community bike exchange event. Like we're not trying to make money. It's great that we do make a little bit to go back towards the sustainability in our own community. But they ended up putting $10 in the donation bin for three kids' bikes and walked out, I feel like looking so proud and so happy. And that's like what it's really all about. And I did also mention that someone made a $100 donation for a bike, which was our largest one bike donation. We even had some community members just donate money that didn't take a bike, which was also amazing. We had 40 bikes registered in person that day, which I have to say is outstanding considering the weather because of the line that people were waiting in for a while. It's great that they, it's great that we got through 40 before the crazy weather started. And I know a lot of people had mentioned that they were going to register their bikes online. And I think that that's truly an educational thing. Like, I don't think that that many people even knew necessarily about the bike registration. So happy with that. The number that I realized I left off of here was that at the end, we had 65 bikes left over that, as you see some of these pictures here, were donated to Working Bikes. So we accept helmets and just hearing about the bike safety and people wearing helmets, hopefully these are must be helmets that have outgrown other kids and they've hopefully bought their kids new bigger helmets. But we don't offer helmets through the bike exchange to other people, to the community members, just because we like to really remind them that we have no idea what the helmet has been through, if it's truly safe. And I always tease that we don't want to start a lice outbreak in River Forest schools. So those all though go to Working Bikes. They check them out. They do all the inspections. And then if you're not familiar with Working Bikes, it's a nonprofit organization based in Chicago. They do a few different things. So they'll, if they have a really nice bike that they can refurb, they'll sell it online on their other online shop, and then all the money that they receive from that helps sort of with a bigger effort that they're doing, which is to put bikes into communities that can really use them, maybe to get to school, to get to work, whatever that might be. So it's not only an offering in the Chicagoland area; they do this program with the bikes coming out of Chicago, all throughout North America, and then international countries as well. They ship large containers of bikes. So here's a picture of this year's volunteers. Normally we would all be wearing like the same volunteer shirt, but it was just way too cold for that. So really grateful. We're missing a couple people in this picture. So we left a little space in the middle for photoshopping maybe in the future. But really we couldn't do this without these volunteers. I feel like everyone that's here is just so passionate about it and so just generous in terms of their their time, but also just in the way that they live. So our sponsors and partners, I don't know, like, it's like my husband's company, that's the Leaf company on the left. He every year gets volunteer shirts for us and is the one who takes care of those stickers that we put on the bikes. Working Bikes not only picks up the bikes at the end, which is really valuable to us because I don't know what we would do with 65 little bikes left over. So it's valuable that they pick them up, but then also they donate the tubes for us. So the first year we didn't realize how many tubes we would need, and it was a learning opportunity. And so since then we've partnered, and Working Bikes donates like a bunch of tubes to us, which is great. And then Buzz Cafe, which is owned by a local community member. She actually was one of the very first founding members of Green for Good in District 90, has donated coffee to us every year too. And this year was very necessary to keep everybody warm. So then just a quick summary, I really covered it all with the numbers, but again, we're just so grateful to everyone who comes out. This is a great shot of either the snow or hail, whatever was happening here. But just really, really appreciative of our community and of the volunteers who are there. I put a link here to the Wednesday Journal article that came out on our Facebook page. And while I don't have a exact date for next year yet, it will be April 2024, and we're really looking forward to it. So thank you all very much for your time.
Excellent. Thank you, Lindsay. That was a great, just an overview of everything that we do. And Lindsay really is the mastermind behind all of it. So I'd never heard of a bike exchange before this event, and it's one of my favorite things every year, so I look forward to it. So when April comes around, we're ready to get out there. And it's also just a good way to connect with a lot of the kids that know us through the school resource program, and see a lot of kids and reinforce that they're wearing their helmets. And it's great to get make those connections with parents. So thank you for organizing that and for being with us here tonight. We are going to go to our next guest speaker, Cheryl Potts, the Executive Director at the Community Mental Health Board of Oak Park. So Cheryl, we'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you. I just want to thank Lindsay for all the work that you're doing. As someone who, when I lived in the city, just rode my bike everywhere all the time, all winter long. I don't so much in the winter now anymore, but I just really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you so much. So my name is Cheryl Potts. I'm the executive director of the Community Mental Health Board of Oak Park Township. You may know my counterpart in River Forest. Her name is Carla Sloan, and she is with River Forest Township. Oak Park, the Community Mental Health Board, is also a part of our Oak Park Township. And what we do is we provide funding to agencies to fill gaps in services for mental health, substance use, and intellectual developmental disabilities. And then we help to bring information to the community as well to facilitate collaborations. And so as you can imagine, Oak Park and River Forest work very closely together in this regard, because like many other things, mental health does not know the boundary of Harlem Avenue. So Carla and I work quite frequently on some of the issues that are affecting all of our communities. One of the things that we did recently was we did put out an updated strategic plan and an updated I-plan through the health department in partnership with River Forest. And one of the things that was a part of that strategic plan was to communicate information around the 988 system. So that's what I'm here today to do, is to provide this information to you. And some of you may have heard of 988. Some of you might know a lot about it. Some of you might have not heard of it at all. So hopefully I will be able to provide some detail that will help you. So 988, there used to be a 10-digit phone number that was referred to as the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Essentially, what happened was at the federal level, as we saw not only suicide rates increasing, but just general mental health crisis rates increasing across the country, the decision was made to, instead of having a 10-digit number that was very difficult to memorize, we would have a 3-digit number to mimic the 911 system. So 988, 3-digit number, very easy to remember. And in addition to that 3-digit number replacing the 10-digit number, the breadth of what was addressed in this line also was broadened. So again, I mentioned that it used to be very specific to suicide prevention. Now, anyone experiencing any type of mental health crisis, it does not have to be suicidal ideation. Anyone experiencing a mental health crisis can call 988. And when a person calls 988, what happens is that you will be, there are options if you are a veteran to press one. A large volume of the calls that do go to that line are for veterans. So we want that to be expedited quickly. There's also a Spanish language line for two. If you don't press either of those buttons, you'll go to a licensed counselor, a licensed social worker who you can speak to regarding your mental health crisis. 80, I believe we are up to about 82% of the calls in Illinois are answered by call centers in Illinois. So that's really good because we want that local response. We want you to be connected with resources in your area. If you are not able to be connected with someone in Illinois, you will go to a national call center so that the phone won't just ring and ring and ring and ring. You will get an answer, hopefully in Illinois, but if all of the lines are taken, you will be bumped up to a national clinician. But the key piece is that you will be talking to a clinician. It's not a dispatch. You will be talking to a clinician who will try to get to the root of the issue and talk through and destabilize you. Stabilize you. We'll attempt to stabilize you and de-escalate you. Through that process, what we're seeing is that the vast majority of calls are resolved on the phone. And then there is no need to have any type of crisis worker be dispatched to a home. So we're seeing really great results. It's in the ballpark. It varies by state to state, but it's in the ballpark of about 80% of the calls are resolved on the phone, where that person is feeling much calmer, has resources to follow up with, and has an action plan moving forward to get into treatment after that call and to resolve that issue. If the discussion with the therapist is not adequate to de-escalate and to stabilize, then that person would be transferred to a local provider, a local mental health provider, who will dispatch a mobile crisis unit. For River Forest and Oak Park, as well as Forest Park, the three of us, our local mental health crisis response is through Thrive Counseling Center. So what they would do is receive a call directly from 988. They would patch that person through, who would then talk to a Thrive counselor, and a mobile crisis unit would be sent to their house. The mobile crisis unit itself consists of one licensed social worker and one peer. So someone who has lived experience, someone who has training to help de-escalate in a mental health situation. So those two individuals would go and be responsive. So the 988 system was launched in July of 2022. So we're coming up on the first year. And so you might have seen, like, I'm talking about some of the data. It's a little bit spotty, but it's because it's still relatively new. But we should have much better results coming over the course of the next few months. But I can say from its initial launch, we have seen an increase of calls go to 988. Excuse me. So the volume has increased, the wait time has decreased dramatically. And in Illinois, the average time, a length of that phone call is about 20 minutes. So people, you know, the clinicians are spending a lot of time on the phone. This isn't meant to do a quick assessment and get you off the phone. It really is meant to dive into those issues a bit deeper. In Illinois, over the coming years, we will be rolling out more of the chat and text functions. Those are currently available, but in a pretty limited way, that infrastructure hasn't quite been built up yet. So the next steps will be to get to chat and text, because we know, especially with youth, that is how we are communicating the most. And then also what we're working on too is ensuring down the line that 988 and 911 can talk to each other, just in case during that call it comes about that there might be a medical issue going on where EMS might need to go to the scene, or there might be a criminal or domestic violence issue or something of that nature where we would need the police on the scene. But we're really trying to make sure that mental health crises are having a response from mental health professionals. And it is 988 is providing a pathway for that to happen. You know, it takes coordination with both the River Forest Police Department, the Oak Park Police Department, our fire departments and EMS. All of these need to be coordinated and talking to each other, which is why it was I was happy to be asked to give this information, because the more we can educate individuals about when it's appropriate to call 988 versus when it's appropriate to call 911, we can help those systems operate more effectively and get the right people on the scene at the right time. So I'll pause there and see if there are any questions. And I'm also going to put my information in the chat.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let me check with the moderator. There are no questions coming through, but of course, oh wait, we might have one. Okay, that's just your commentary. Okay. So of course, Daryl, if you're going to conclude, that's great. Thank you so much. And if anyone needs to reach out, you can contact Cheryl through the information in the chat. Otherwise, you can reach out to me, bransom@brf.us, and I can connect you with Cheryl or with Lindsay. Anything to add, Cheryl?
Just real quick, this won't be the last that you hear of this. One of the things that we're planning to do both in River Forest and Oak Park is have more of a marketing campaign and a communications campaign so that education continues to trickle out for individuals to have. So, you know, keep an eye out for written materials, for flyers, and then for more events around this. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you to Cheryl and Lindsay, our guest speakers tonight. I will be showing shortly how to connect with the e-news on our village website to get updates on community notifications as well. So thank you again. All right. In that same line of thinking, National Prescription Take-Back Day was on the 22nd. Friendly reminder that it's unwise to leave unused prescriptions in your medicine cabinets, and also unsafe to toss them or flush them. So if you missed the event, remember you can always turn in expired or unwanted prescriptions at the Village Hall, 400 Park Avenue. In the basement, we have a receptacle through Cook County Sheriff's Prescription Drug Take-Back Program, and we were also listed on the DEA's national website for that program as well. Through our iSearch program, we have worked hard to educate multiple grade levels throughout our public and private schools on cyber safety for kids, including the risks they face, roles, their roles and responsibilities that they play, as well as where they can go to get help. However, there is another crucial task involved with protecting our kids online, and that is educating our parents. So next Wednesday, the School District 90 will be hosting our police department's cyber crimes unit and members of the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for a parent seminar on cyber safety. The parent discussion is geared towards educating parents on their own responsibilities, what their kids are being exposed to online, how to navigate this ever-changing digital landscape of social media, gaming, and beyond. We'll be dealing with social networks and predators, sextortion, what to do if you are victimized, how the police can help you, monitoring resources and other resources through the National Center for Exploited Missing Children, as well as our Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. So if you are associated with the District 90 community, if you're a member of the school or the community in large, contact or reach out to D90 and see if you can make it to the seminar on Wednesday, May 3rd at 7 p.m. It's going to be at Lincoln School Auditorium. If you're not affiliated and you want to host a similar seminar, you could reach out to our Crime Prevention Unit, 708-366-7125 to set that up. Right. Another reminder, as I said, if you go to vrf.us, to our village website, at the top right, you can click on the Get Notifications to sign up for our e-newsletter. Community events, resources are pushed out through this notification system. So stay plugged in, stay tuned in for what's coming out in the future. This is also a great way to contact us. This is a great way to register your bikes online, as we talked about with the Bike Exchange program. And there are a number of different free services offered by our police department, such as vacation watch programs, security surveys for your homes, gun locks, and just a variety of others. We have officers that are trained to install car seats. Reach out to our crime prevention unit for more, or go to the village website to learn more on that. I will now be turning over to our detective unit. Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola is with us tonight for a brief presentation on crime trends, statistics, and some other things that we want the community to be aware of.
Good evening, everybody. I am Justin Labriola. I'm the Detective Sergeant here at the River Forest Police Department. I just wanted to go over a few things that I have in the past. I know we talked about bikes earlier today with the bike exchange, but as always, make sure you do get your bikes registered. Summer, like every other summer, we do have an increase in bike thefts. Our kids have a tendency to go ahead and leave those unlocked, especially when they go to the convenience store or they're riding over to their friends' houses, things like that. So, remind your children to go ahead and lock up their bikes. Make sure that we are locking our garages, making sure that they're shut at night. Being a proud parent, I know that that's easier said than done. Sometimes the kids' garages open. As for other trends, Ben, can you switch the slide on that, or do I have access? Recently, I'm sure many people have actually seen the news. We've seen some things, unfortunately, in the city of Chicago, where large groups have been gathering and pretty much taking over the street. They're having some of these street takeovers. Unfortunately, some of these street takeovers have moved their way to the western suburbs. Fortunately, ourselves, as well as some of our surrounding jurisdictions, we've been very proactive with combating these. Our neighbors to the west, Maywood specifically, so I want to. We have actively been out on the weekends trying to eliminate some of the. Was one or two recently in Maywood in the area of Chicago and First Avenue. Maywood did a great job with some of the surrounding jurisdictions, including ourselves, identifying some of these drivers, identifying some of the vehicles, and taking proper action against them. what they do is they have the tendency also to shut down the streets. So the police response is nil. They'll set fire to the street in a ring, and they'll just drive around in circles causing commotion. It becomes a significant situation. So we've been actively trying to monitor those. Last week, I'm sure you also probably heard about it on the news, there were talks about large groups forming at this police department here, as well as other jurisdictions. We were on standby. We were made aware of the situation, and we were prepared. So rest assured, that has come across our desks. We've been aware with that. Assuming that the summer only later nights chaos, we are prepared. So we've definitely are preparing for that and have considering till April. And other trends, we have seen some catalytic converter thefts. Hasn't really decreased much. But fortunately, we have this narrowed down to just a couple of suspects, a couple of offending vehicles. We specifically, I will just go ahead and put that out there, we are looking for an Infiniti with a temporary registration or red registration. So I will go ahead and put that out there if you do see something. Notify us. Be aware of that. Be aware of your surroundings. Obviously, if you appears to be changing a tire or is underneath a car in a parking lot, give us a call. See if you can't get any information about that vehicle. Some good arrests recently. The detective division, as well as the tactical division, we made arrest on a subject who was responsible for breaking into a condominium building and stealing a vehicle out of that condo building. That person was also related to 7 other incidents from other jurisdictions, had 7 active warrants. That person is currently incarcerated. So that was a very good arrest, considering the person has not been located since August from other jurisdictions. Our case was more recent, but we were able to apprehend that person and continue to be active. Again, if you have any questions, my information is on the site. I can be reached at the desk or email jlabriola@vrf.us. And I will be here if there are any other questions.
You, Detective Sergeant. So, speaking of other questions, we are at the end of our presentation. We are opening up the floor for your questions and concerns. Again, the Chief and the Detective Sergeant are hanging around if any questions come in through. We're going to turn it over to the moderator and see, give it a moment. It doesn't sound like anything's come through. So.
Just as we're waiting to see if any questions do come in, just a quick reminder that the police department has supervisors working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please, if you have a question or you have a concern from a customer service standpoint, please reach out to the dispatch center, or if you're speaking with an officer on a scene or at a stop, you could always ask for a supervisor to come to that stop or scene, or call the dispatch center and ask for a supervisor to respond to your residence or business or wherever you're at. It looks like we may have one question coming in at this time. And I'm going to have Detective Sergeant Labriola come and address this question that has just come in regarding carjackings.
What is the question exactly? Carjackings? We have not had any recent carjackings. I actually have to go back and specifically see the last carjacking that we had. But again, my email or phone number, if you want to reach out to me directly outside of this forum, feel free to go ahead and do so. I'll be more than happy to do that. As carjacking was, but fortunately, and I know I mentioned this in multiple past meetings, unlike some other neighboring jurisdictions, we have had as many. Again, whoever, I appreciate that question. Feel free to reach out to me directly. I'll be able to.
And as we're seeing if any other questions come in, one reminder is that we have the club vehicle steering wheel immobilizer for the Kias and also the Hyundais. And your contact directly over here at the police department for that is Crime Prevention Officer Ben Ransom. We still have several of these devices available. They're free. And the eligible individuals must drive the vehicles at approximately between 2010 to 2020 models. If you have any questions whether your model would fit into being able to receive a free steering wheel immobilizer or club, as most of us know it, Officer Ransom is really good kind of walking you through whether you're eligible to get one or whether you actually need one for your Hyundai or Kia. And I'll check with the moderator one last time. And it looks like no additional questions at this time. I'll turn it over once again to Officer Ransom to close out our meeting for this evening. I'd like to thank everyone also for attending this evening or for those that will be watching the replay.
To reiterate, thank you everyone for coming out tonight, for visiting on Zoom, and a reminder that our next quarterly meeting will be held at the end of July, the fourth Wednesday in July. And if anything comes up before then, you can contact our crime prevention unit at any time between our meetings. Thank you everyone, have a good night, and be safe.